Our position in Christ is described in verses 1 and 3, and what a position it is. Notice verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, being co-resurrected with Christ means at the moment of salvation, we spiritually entered into Christ's death and resurrection. In other words, and we've studied that in Romans 6, we were baptized into his death. And the fruit of this immersion is declared in verse 3. Okay, since we are risen with Christ, then verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Which tells us we as believers share in common life with Christ. We are joined to him through our union with him in his death and resurrection, and have died to the mindset of this world. And therefore, we can now walk in newness of life. We can now be servants of righteousness unto holiness. And such a position in Christ means nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And this position of being loved by Christ should be a great motivation to have then a passion for Christ. Now, before we get into point number 2, since we are risen with Christ, and again, this is our position, we are then dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. What are we dead to? The world. The world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So why should we want to incorporate the world into our Christianity when we are dead to the world? We are risen with Christ. Our life is hid with Christ and God. How can you have a better position to live than to have a life hid with Christ? Again, this position of being loved by Christ. You know, Paul speaks in Romans 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Should be a great motivation to have then a passion for Christ. Not a passion for the world, but a passion for Christ. And such dedication and devotion to Christ is expressed in the action statements in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 admonishes us, since we are risen with Christ, we are, and this is to be our passion for Christ, we are to seek those things which are above. Now, the present tense of the Greek verb used here indicates a continuous action, meaning the pattern of our living should be an unending seeking of him, continual preoccupation with Christ, and the values that characterize him, the things above. And those values center on our Lord's kingdom and his righteousness. And then in verse 2, Paul instructs us how to continually seek heavenly things, and that is by setting our affection on things above and not on things on this earth. And the idea here is we are to continue. It's in the present tense is in the verb here of setting our affection on things above. The idea here is we are to have to continue to have an inner disposition, a thinking process, a transformed mind that is heaven orientated. And why heaven? Because that's where Christ is. What does verse 1 tell us where Christ is? Seated at the right hand of God. Since our life is hid with Christ, since we are risen with him, since we are to be dead to this life, then surely we should want to reside where Christ is. The cliche is, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. And I think there can be some truth to that, but sometimes I think that cliche might get a bad rap, with the consequence that too many Christians aren't heavenly minded at all. Now, what defines this heavenly thinking? Philippians 4:8, I believe, accurately does. And it says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's being heavenly minded. Thinking that way, which leads to how we live, is heavenly thinking. Such righteous thinking, as I've just said, will then manifest itself in true godly behavior. Such heavenly living demonstrates, in my thinking, that that person has a passion for Christ. He wants to live how Christ would live. A passion for Christ is worth it, especially considering the promise we have in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a promise. Right now the godly are persecuted, they are rejected, just like Christ was during his earthly ministry. Remember, Christ said, because the world hates me, they're going to hate you. But when Jesus is revealed at his second coming, we also will be declared with him to a lost and dying world. And let's turn to Revelation 19. I know you're familiar with these verses, but they are describing what this revelation that we will appear with him in glory, what the event is that will bring this to pass. If you'll begin with me, verse 11, Revelation 19, and I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And then verse 15 and 16, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then there's verse 14, and we skipped over that, but I want to come back to that. And it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And guess who is on those white horses wearing linen, white and clean? The saints, you and me. The ones who can say, Christ is my life. He does not just give me life, he is my life. And I say, what a glorious promise awaits us. And this promise can be kept, and I love this, because we who have been sown in corruption will be raised in incorruption. We who have been sown in dishonor shall be raised in glory. We who have been sown in weakness shall be raised in power. We who have been sown in natural body shall be raised in a spiritual body. And you can find that 1 Corinthians 15. Well, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Friends, if we want to be effective in making disciples, if we want to be fruitful and useful witnesses for our Lord, we need to make sure our passion is not for the world, but for Christ. Meaning we are seeking those things which are above as we set our affection on things above and not on things of this earth.